Here we are tonight, 5:40 p.m. Central Time, live on Thanksgiving evening. And I don't know if you guys want to get the family around, get near the Roku channel, the computer, tweet, text, email, Facebook. Let them know we are coming to really the apex of the day. And we got a lot of big stuff coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we are coming to the apex of the day, and that is to go through this right here. This complaint, the U.S. Supreme Court complaint in the U.S. Supreme Court of the United States. And you can go and see this complaint yourself at frankspeech.com. But in just a little bit, we're going to be joined back here at the desk by Mike Lindell and one of the attorneys who's been working so hard on this, Kurt Olson. And we're going to go through this complaint, as I've been telling you all day. This is not written in a bunch of legalese. This is written in really layman language. We'll all understand it. I've been marking it up. It's a historical document. All these people say, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Where's the proof of the fraud? Where's the proof of the steal? Let me tell you something, folks. It's right here. It's right here. There's 75 pages of documentation. And we're going to go through some PowerPoint, some timeline, and we're going to be joined by Pete Centelli, the great Pete. I think he was in a movie, wasn't he? That was the great Centelli, or I don't know. I'll have to ask Pete. That's an old movie from the 70s with Robert De Niro. No, what's Robert? What was his name? What was the actor that was in there? Robert Duvall? I can't remember. We'll ask. Anyway, he was a fighter pilot. It's a true story about a fighter pilot from, I think, back in the 70s. I watched it as a kid. The great Centelli? I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. It was a great movie, though. But I always think of that when I think of Pete Centelli. But Pete's going to join. By the way, you like our backdrop? I switched out the backdrops. I can do that. I can switch backdrops all the day long. Whatever you want. What do you want? This happens to be the great Memphis right behind me. You know what my favorite places is? One of my favorite places is right there. Wait a minute. Let's show over here. That's one of my favorite places right there. That's the Peabody. That's the Peabody right there. The Mighty Ducks, the Peabody Ducks, they come out of the elevator, walk onto a red carpet. Look at that. You guys can see Delta over in her bed. She just got shaved. We give our lab a shave so she quits shedding all over the house and studio. So she's laying there in her MyPillow bed. That's her MyPillow bed. But you can get one of those at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code L66. But that right there is the Peabody here in the Memphis area. And they opened up the movie Firm. The Firm with Tom Cruise opens up on the top of the roof there. And the Mighty Ducks, or the, not the Mighty Ducks, the Peabody Ducks, they bring them down in the elevator. Every morning they walk out onto the red carpet with the Duckmaster, jump into the fountain, spend all day in the fountain, and then about 5 o'clock at night, the Duckmaster comes back down the elevator, rolls out the red carpet, brings the ducks, the Peabody Ducks, out of the fountain. They march onto the red carpet, back into the elevator, and they have a penthouse up here, you know? Memphis gets a bad rap, I know. Let me tell you something. People say, Memphis. Let me tell you something, folks. There's problems in every major city. St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago, obviously. I mean, it's all over the place. I love Memphis. This is the Great Pyramid, the Memphis Pyramid over... Wait, where am I? I got to show you what side I'm on. Everything on television is backwards. You know, being a weatherman is not as easy as it looks. You got to know how to do your hands. Go back to that other shot. I can show them the Memphis. Look at there. It is the pyramid. That's now the Bass Pro Shop. That's a huge Bass Pro Shop. Alligators, fish. It'll blow your mind. That'll blow your mind right there. That right there is worth coming to town. Not to mention we got Graceland and all kinds of stuff. But those are two of my favorite places right there. The Peabody and the Pyramid. Those are two fun places right there in Memphis. Of course, that's the interstate. That's the I-40. That's not the I-40 bridge. That one there's I-40 bridge is not in this shot. Oh, this right here, that right there is the monorail type thing that you see that takes you out to Mud Island that you saw in The Firm. Tom Cruise is chasing people. Anyway, that's the skyline of Memphis tonight. I thought I'd change it up a little bit for you to take a look at that. But we're going to be joined by Pete Centelli. But again, I want to tell you, tweet, text, email, Facebook. We are live right now, 5:45 p.m. Central Time on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all of my family and friends. Happy Thanksgiving to Ruby and Avery and the whole clan and Landon and Logan, of course, and Reagan in there. Thanksgiving, and here we are, folks, working. The control room is jumping. I think the only one not working is Delta. She's had her Thanksgiving meal. Show another shot of her, a wide shot. Yep, she's out like a light. But that's what happens when you're on a MyPillow pet bed, which, again, great time of the year to be thinking about your pet for Thanksgiving. MyPillow.com, promo code L66, promo code L66 to save up to 66%. And a generous portion of each purchase comes back to keep this network going and help Mike Lindell continue to fight the fight to save our country. All right, and again, don't forget, we're leading up to the big crescendo of the day, going through part of the complaint to the Supreme Court that you can read and you can pass on to your friends and send to your attorney general asking them to sign on to it by going to frankspeech.com. Well, joining me now is Pete Santelli. Pete, welcome to the broadcast. Look at you. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. By the way, it's the great Santini.
The great Santini. I couldn't remember. I was hoping you were listening because I could not remember.
It is the great Santini. Mine is Santelli, certainly not the level of greatness of the great Santini.
I don't know about that. You're a pretty great guy. You've done some great things for the country, and you still are. And you're on every day here at Lindell TV, frankspeech.com, every morning from 7 Central to 9. You're the reason Logan has to be in the control room at 7 a.m. He curses your name every morning.
He does a great job. So
smart, I'm just Logan. Kidding. He's never done that. He wouldn't do that. But you do. You're up every... What time do you get up every morning?
3 o'clock every morning. 3:45 generally, by 3:45 every morning.
Do you do all show prep the night before, or are you getting up to do show prep then?
You show prep in the morning, and then we do an evening show at 6 p.m., 6 to 9, 9 p.m. So 5 hours, but you're one of the hardest working men as well.
Hey,
you're doing shows midday, right?
Yeah, 1 to 2, then with Mike Lindell, with the Lindell Report, 6 to 7, and then my show 7 to 9. Yep.
It's such an important time, Brandon. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah,
and that's why we're through the Thanksgiving weekend. This is, people
are like, what? This guy's wife, I can't believe she puts up with this. But, hey, she knows that we're fighting to save the country, Mike Lindell and all of us. We're fighting to save the country. Mike will be back here at the desk in just a little bit, and we're going to go through this report with one of the lead attorneys, Kurt Olson. But, yeah, I mean, people think, what is going on with these guys? They're broadcasting live on Thanksgiving. What's wrong with them? We're trying to save the country, and it's that important. This last year, I don't know where it's gone. We looked at a video last night and of some of the stuff we were preparing to show you today, absolute proof, and we filmed that in the end of January 2021, this year. End of January 2020, so it's not even a year yet. It feels like that was a lifetime ago when I saw the footage of that again last night. I'm like, we've missed out on quite a bit this year, vacations like we normally do, free time like we normally do, but, you know, a lot of people are sacrificing. There are patriots all over this country that have sacrificed so much time and energy and effort, their own money, traveling to the symposium, traveling to things to be at, to group up with other patriots, working. I mean, some of these moms going to, you know, school board meetings, fighting the mask mandates. Some of them have formed their own organizations. So many Americans in less than a year have sacrificed so much to try to save this country. Would you agree with that, Pete?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was thinking about that earlier when I was listening to Jenna Ellis. Do you remember that level of intensity? It was like she was riding a tornado in November and December of last year.
Yeah.
That was a level of intensity that most people will never have to experience and, in fact, never have experienced.
Yeah, well, what's the old saying? Those of us that took typing, which I did, I took typing. I got a lot of teasing for taking typing when I was in high school in 1986, 87, 88, but now I've written 14 books, and boy, howdy, I can type those books out fast. But what was it, the phrase we learned to type? It's time for all good men to come to the aid of their nation, right? You know, now is the time.
Right.
And that's the case, right?
That's exactly right.
The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I mean, these are all great sayings we learned, but now more than ever, right?
You know, as soon as this thing was published, I felt a patriotic a duty, an obligation to print this thing out, to read it, to know it, to figure it out. I'm not an attorney.
But legally, you don't have to be an attorney to read it. Did you notice that?
Right, but I'm not an attorney, and I started reading through it, and I said, I don't need to be an attorney, and I can take a lot of these numbers that are very, very upsetting and share it with my friends, my family, and my audience, and every single American. If you download this thing and just go through the numbers alone, As a matter of fact, can I use one example?
Yeah, no, you can use more than one example. And then I got some PowerPoint that I spent about 12 hours last Saturday building we can go through. But I would love, because again, we're kind of doing a warm-up here. This is kind of a pre-show warm-up, if you will, for what is the crescendo of the day, which is Mike Lindell coming back to the desk with one of the attorneys that worked so hard on this, Kurt Olson, and we're going to go through this thing. So this is kind of a pre-show warm-up, hoping everybody would get excited about turning on the Roku channel, the phone, the TV, whatever, getting the family and friends, tweet, text, email, telling them, you know, what time, Logan? We got this whole thing timed out, so we end at exactly 9 o'clock Central. So about what time do you think we're going to need to take a break and reset and get Mike and everybody here? What time should we start promoting? 7:04. So 7:04. The floor manager, the producer, Logan, says we're going to have to be out of here by 7:04 Central in order to go through everything we're going to need to go through for today. They've really, Holly, Ash, they've all worked so hard laying out our schedule and helping us stay on schedule. So about 7 o'clock, we're going to have to start getting ready to transition here for Kurt Olson to join us, Mike Lindell to join us, to go through this with us at the desk. There's no way we're going to get through it all today. So basically, this is kind of getting everybody excited about it and understanding it. So with that being, you know, our job really right now, Pete, is to get everybody excited about notifying the country to get on board, to be here no later than 7 o'clock Central if they're not already here.
You have to. When I downloaded it, I started reading it, and I didn't get past page one. And I thought to myself, not only am I outraged, every single American would be outraged to know this number. And now we've got numbers, the facts. They always say, oh, there's no evidence of widespread election fraud. Let me read this example here on page one. For example, in Pennsylvania, after all counties had finally uploaded their official November 2020 election results, there were still 49,171 more votes than voters. Just one of the many examples of illegal votes. And I'll tell you, as I read through this thing, every time I got to those numbers, those factual calculations of all the anomalies, it was very upsetting. And I thought to myself, if every American could read this thing right now, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, you will be upset about what went on November 2020.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, last month, 56% of respondents agreed that, quote, it's likely that cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 presidential election, end quote, a 5% increase since April 2021. You know, what's interesting is that if you actually had the media doing their job, that would be at 90% would agree that the cheating likely took place. The fact that 56% think that, when they're being brainwashed by the mainstream media to believe otherwise, is quite a testament to people like you and others and the alternative media. Would you agree?
Yes, and I think it would be even higher. I mean, if every American, if they made this like required reading material, or if they went 24/7 on the mainstream media and covered this, 90% plus easily. And then there's some people that, you know, that may not have read it. Maybe they're not near the internet or a TV. But every single person that would read this thing and see the details of the widespread, major. I mean, the level of corruption. It's probably very difficult to be an attorney to draft this thing, and to know that your country's been overthrown essentially by this electronic voting machine fraud.
Yeah, I'm getting all these texts and emails, everybody, now. I'm trying to catch up on my texts and emails, and they're all telling me the great Santini. I couldn't remember the name. I wanted to call it the great, you know, Santelli, but it's the great Santini, and now I'm catching up on all my emails, and everybody's telling me what it is. That's the great thing about a live audience. If you forget something, all you got to do is ask them, and between email and text, they're going to tell you.
That's right. You know, I didn't want to begin your segment on a negative note, but at the same time, guess what?
What?
Just knowing this information now, it's factual. It's not like we have a bunch of people to suspect that fraud may have taken place. When I looked at it, I said, okay, finally, we've got some good, solid numbers here. But we should feel a sense of empowerment now. Now this is in the hands of we the people, and we need to hold our public officials accountable all the way down to the state level, right?
Absolutely. You know what I would do, and I've said this, I'm going to say it again a few more times tonight. I took the document. I sent it to my local Office Depot. And I printed two copies. I printed one copy for me and one copy for Mike. So that when we come to the desk here at 7 Central, he'll have his copy, I'll have my copy. Now, I've already started marking my copy up. I've marked my copy up a lot. Mike, I don't know if he's has marked his up or not. Is what real, Logan? Oh, I don't know. But I sent this to my local Office Depot and had it printed, as I said, two copies, GCB binding. It was very inexpensive, double-sided, 75 pages, you know, but it's double-sided. I would encourage people to print it out on their own printers and pass it out. Or, again, if you want to maybe save some paper and toner, send it up to your favorite copy center, have them print it, tell them you want it GCB binding, order up 50 copies. Order up 100 copies from your local print shop and start passing this out. Because all these people that say, where's the proof, where's the proof? Can you refute these facts in here? Because this is not subjective information here. And by the way, you'll notice all the footnotes with the hyperlinks to go verify what's being said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I sent a message out. I got all excited. I was sending messages out asking where the attachments were. It was early on when Mike had just published it at Frank's speech.
Did you find it?
Now the attachments are up at frankspeech.com.
Let me show everybody. Let's see here. Logan, can you show my screenshot? There you go. Thank you, Logan. All right, Supreme Court complaint. So go to frankspeech.com, Supreme Court complaint, where it says click here. Yeah, click there. All right. Again, we've showed this a million times. We're going to show it a million times more. You got a message from Mike. And select your state. You could choose whatever your state is, obviously. I'll choose Alabama. Build my email. There you go. It builds the message. You could add to it if you want. Then you open your email and send it out. Now, I'm going to go back because here is the view of the complaint right there. So, again, here's all we did, folks. You go to frankspeech.com. Look for the banner, Supreme Court complaint. Click here. And then you click view complaint. There you go. All right. Now, you could take the URL of this up here. Take the URL, the website. Send that URL to your local print shop. Say, please print me X number of copies, double-sided, GCB binding, and you'll have exactly what I have here at the desk. Now, what Pete is talking about is view exhibits. So you have the complaint, view complaint, then view exhibits. These are all the exhibits that are talked about. So, for instance, I showed this earlier. I'll show it again. The first one. In this, they talk about Exhibit 1, the memo by John Ratcliffe, the former director of National Intelligence. This is what he wrote January 7th, 2021. Now, it's been unclassified, obviously. But if you want to read where he's warning about outside threats, foreign threats to the 2020 election, including China, there it is, okay? Now, you could print that even and have that added to your book, which at this point I wish I had. I wish I had gone through and had all these added, but there you go. I mean, there it is. There it is, Pete.
You know, here's another one. You ready? Another shocking. Now, you know that you and I, we live this every single second because we're in media.
We're nerds.
We're nerds, and we have to learn it to translate it to, you know, to our audiences.
Right.
But, you know, the entire year I never heard the following name, and it was jaw-dropping when I found out about this. Professor J. Alex Halderman. Had you ever heard that name before?
Yes, because he is in one of our documentaries. So when I was researching for either Absolute Proof or Absolute Interference, I heard about him, and I went and I grabbed one of the clips. So that's but only because I'm immersed in this.
Yes. Now, J. Alex Halderman, he's a University of Michigan cybersecurity expert. He testified to the Georgia federal court, and essentially, in so many words, and you can read the paragraph there, he uncovered and proved that the election, the electronic voting machines can be hacked.
What page is that on? I have that in my notes, but I'm not going to flip to my notes because you got it right there in front of you.
Page two. And I'm going to read this. He revealed in Georgia federal court that he had conclusively demonstrated that Dominion voting systems machines used in at least 16 states can easily be hacked to steal votes. You want to hear this now?
Yeah.
This is the very, very upsetting, and it should be for all Americans. Inexplicably, the district court denied Professor Haldeman's request to unseal his expert report detailing these systemic vulnerabilities. Why? Because he wanted to present it to CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They refused to unseal it so that he could report it to the proper authorities.
Yep.
What's wrong with that?
What are they hiding? What are they hiding, Pete?
Well, you know, of course, Krebs, it allows Krebs to go testify, like A.G. Barr. We've seen no evidence of widespread fraud. I wonder why. You've got the court sealing records.
Right.
And nobody doing proper investigations. I guess to give them the ability to do that. I'm sorry, I didn't want to turn this into a rant. Again, if every American reads this, 90% plus will know absolutely that the November 2020 election basically demonstrated that the electronic voting machine fraud has taken place, I'm sure, for 20 years.
Absolutely.
Plus.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I just got a text, Silk wishing me and all of you happy Thanksgiving, because we are live right now, 6:02 p.m. Central Time on Thanksgiving, November 25th, 2021, 6:02 p.m. Central Time. Silk just text, happy Thanksgiving. And
happy
again, we are looking forward just exactly 58 minutes from now. We'll take a break. We'll reset. We'll get another desk, get a chair at the desk here, and we'll reset. And Mike Lindell will join us along with Kurt Olson to go through the complaint that we're talking about right now. I do, however, want to skip to ahead in the report. I know we're going to probably go through this with the other guys, but here we go. Look at this. This is on page 21 of the report. This guy, by the way, testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee. My conclusion from that work, well, let me just go back to the other quote. Okay, the following is the statement by Professor Haldeman at this hearing, and it's startling, okay? He says, my conclusion from that work is that our highly computerized election infrastructure is vulnerable to sabotage and even to cyber attacks that could change votes. These realities risk making our election results more difficult for the American people to trust. I know America's voting machines are vulnerable because my colleagues and I have hacked them repeatedly as a part of a decade of research. A decade of research studying the technology that operates elections and learning how to make it stronger. We've created attacks that can spread from machine to machine like a computer virus and silently change election outcomes. This puts the entire nation at risk. In close elections, an attacker can probe the most important swing states or swing counties, find areas with weakest protection, and strike there. There you go. I mean, this guy, again, testifying before many different governmental bodies, but he's testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee, Pete.
Yes, and, you know, and his testimony. Yeah, Americans are cynical. You're sitting there, you're listening to testimony. We've all heard a testimony. But when it gets weighed in the court, and that was the most striking thing to me as a, you know, just a legal nerd. To have the court keep his testimony, his evidence, and his record sealed, when in fact all he wanted to unseal it for was to go tell CISA, who's in charge of cybersecurity protections. That's the guy Krebs that testified, this is the safest election in our nation's history.
Later on MSNBC, I think it was, with Adam Schiff, declared that we are vulnerable. Just a few months later, he said, we're vulnerable to a cyber attack from China right down to the local elections. We have that video. That's in one of our documentaries. It's in either Absolute Proof or I think it's an Absolute Interference is what it's in. Because it would have been long enough past then. Yeah, it would have been an absolute interference. We actually have him on video saying that. So he goes from saying it was the safest election ever, the guy that was in charge of this division inside the Department of Homeland Security, to saying, oh, we're vulnerable to a hack from China down to the local election. Well, gee willikers, yeah. Thanks,
oh, yeah.
Thanks, Opie.
You know, the information we have now compared to back then. I went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. It was a beautiful event. I didn't go anywhere.
Oh, you were there?
I was there, but I wasn't near the Capitol. I was, you know, I mean, we were headed down towards the Capitol, but I was there. And I went because, you know what? We should want to push the pause button, have our elected officials take some time and investigate. And at the time, we did not know what we know now. Now we have all the evidence. Now I would say that, you know, 50 million people need to go back to D.C. and, you know, peacefully, of course, and say, hey, it's time to fix this electronic voting machine fraud. Actually, it's time to end the machines and go to paper ballots at minimum.
Yeah, at minimum. Absolutely. All right. Well, Reagan, if you'd walk out here and help me with that, that'd be great. They're telling me I got to put in my other earpiece. I only wear one because it's, I hate them. And I guess apparently, Pete, I hear you in one earpiece and I hear them in the control room in the other, and I'm not putting in the other one because I like being able to hear my own voice, because it's like taking your fingers and closing your ears. Who wants to, that's what it sounds like to me. So I keep one off. But here's the reality. Apparently, I hear you in one ear and I hear them in the other. Yeah, I am hearing you now. Would you change? Oh, you plugged it into my right ear, you sneaky devil. Prior to this, I could just take them out of my ear and don't hear them. I don't get any commands from this control room. Now he just changed it. Now he's pumping his voice into my ear in the right ear. See, I thought I had found a way not to have to listen to them, Pete.
We have no audio issues on the 7 o'clock show. Just want you to know that.
All right. Perfect. So what did you want to tell me, Logan? Oh, yeah. He was telling me it was absolute interference, so we have the video of Schiff. He works with all these clips. He's got all this stuff memorized. I put it all together, but I can't remember. But he works with the different clips, Pete, you know, regularly, so he remembers which is which. All right, so, again, it's 6:07. Yeah, Logan's working on Thanksgiving. I'm working. Mike's working. Pete Santelli's working. Kurt Olson's about to be here. We're going to go through this report. We're working to save America. All right, so... I want to show you. I spent 12 hours on Saturday building a PowerPoint presentation. You want to go through some of it with me?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, right, I'm sorry to threw you off your game.
Oh, you're not. I'm used to live radio, so I just roll with it. There's no schedule here. There's no schedule as far as what we can and cannot talk about that I know of. But look at this. You talk about they're saying, well, you guys are all quoting a bunch of Republicans, a bunch of conspiracy theorists. No. In fact, no. Look at this one. Look at this. Look what I found in my research. Saturday, I spent 12 hours researching, building PowerPoints. You know, some of our team helped put together some of these, and I went and found some of them on my own. Now, this is November 8th. This is all going to be in chronological order. So, timeline, 2007. We're going to roll forward from 2007. I don't think we're going to get through 68 slides I built. Smartmatic announces sale of Sequoia Voting Systems, November 8th, 2007. Now, where is this coming from? Representative Carolyn Maloney. Folks, that's a Democrat. Go look her up. She's a Democrat. In 2007, she's like, hey, look, Smartmatic announces the sale of its Sequoia Voting Systems. Well, look at what's on the next page. Smartmatic was the subject of controversy in 2004 when the Hugo Chavez-led Venezuelan government, really, you mean as in Marxist, communist, socialist? Hugo Chavez-led Venezuelan government selected it to provide the voting machine system for the presidential recall election, even though it would have been the company's first time providing machines for an election. Smartmatic teamed up with the Venezuelan software company Bidza, which at the time was 28% owned by Chavez's government. In 2005, a Chicago City alderman questioned the possible ties between Sequoia and the Venezuelan government when that company's machines were used in the March 2006 Chicago primaries. Quote, when I first raised concerns about the Smartmatic case with the U.S. Treasury Department, I knew it was ripe for a CFIUS investigation. This would, again, be groups inside Homeland Security. They were just too many questions and lingering doubts with Smartmatic was clearly unable to overcome in quote. So this is 2007. You want to comment on this, Pete?
2007. What year was it that, by the way, are you familiar with Lord Malik Brown with Smartmatic? Are you familiar with that name?
I am not. Tell us.
Well, Lord, Lord Malik Brown, I'm going to bring this clip to you. You may not have it. I think that was right about in 2007, I think, was at the time when the Philippines was overthrown. They had big questions about their elections being overthrown. But Lord Malik Brown was on television and admitting that yes, Smartmatic uses their software, and they cross over to these other platforms like Sequoia and Dominion. But he's on record stating this to the Philippines press. And wow. I think it was right in 2007. I don't have it in front of me. The Democrats, though, have been the ones that have been raising the alarm, because you remember the Bush regime was using a lot of the... And by the way, Mitt Romney with Bain Capital was involved in these bundling deals for Lord Malik Brown and Smartmatic and Sequoia and all these mergers that took place. So the Democrats used to attack the Republicans like Mitt Romney and the Bush regime because they were involved in electronic voting machine fraud.
And that, of course, led to eventually, 2016 movie Kill Chain, which we've showed quite a few clips from Kill Chain, which are a bunch of Democrats. And we've even got video of Kamala Harris, now VP, quote VP, warning about these machines. So we've got all kinds of Democrats on record, on video, saying the same things we're saying now. But now that we say it, somehow we're subversive. We're potential domestic terrorists. What's that all about, Pete?
I mean, it's such a shame that what they've been complaining about for at least the past 10 years, as far as I know, there's been testimony given where the Democrats used people that were experts, cybersecurity experts and software experts, to criticize and attack the Republicans because they were concerned about electronic voting machine fraud. But this past election, they benefited from it so strongly, they want to turn a blind eye to it.
Yep. Let's go back to the press release from 2007 by a Democrat, Carolyn Maloney. At first, Smartmatic flatly refused to undergo this government review. It eventually agreed to a review, but later dropped out of that review process and announced its intent to divest Sequoia. Quote, the Smartmatic case reinforces the importance of a strong CFIUS review system. That's why I worked hard to pass new CFIUS reforms this year that encourage safe foreign investment in the U.S. without jeopardizing our nation's security, end quote. And of course, you'd have to go on to find out later what happened. So let's go to June 2008. Sequoia Voting System, Inc. uses vote count software developed, owned, and licensed by foreign-owned Smartmatic a company linked to the Venezuelan government of Hugo Chavez. U.S. national security is potentially at risk because software used to count votes in 20% of the country during U.S. elections is owned and controlled by a Venezuelan-run company with ties to the Venezuelan government of Hugo Chavez. Which, by the way, if you go and you research some of this stuff, you find these bogus websites telling you this is all conspiracy theory. It's not true. Wait a minute. We just had a U.S. Congresswoman with her own press release, and that's why we love showing screenshots, telling us this is actually tied, this voting system was tied back to Chavez and his government. So, you know, there are websites, if you go out there and look this up, they'll tell you this is wrong, a conspiracy theory. Yet this U.S. Congresswoman knows this to be true. That's why we're showing her 2007 press release, Pete.
That's right. And I think it was also validated in it was a release on WikiLeaks. Is that where you got that particular document?
You know what? Some of our research team helped us put this together. I cut and pasted all and built the PowerPoint myself, but some of our researchers helped me drag this together.
Yeah, there was it was called Caracas View of Smartmatic and its Voting Machines, and it was part of a WikiLeaks release as well. So it's not some document that's just floating out there. It's been cross-validated. I think it was Venezuela Caracas. Who did it say Caracas at the top of yours? I think it's the same exact document. It was a classified cable by Robert Downs, political counselor.
Yeah,
that you were reading.
Okay.
Venezuelan-owned Smartmatic Corporation is a riddle both in ownership and operation. And this was a classified report that I think it was taken from the CIA dump to WikiLeaks, which, as we know, obviously it's the CIA dumped to WikiLeaks got Julian Assange in trouble.
Yeah, by the way, when you mentioned the CIA, I've got it marked somewhere. Oh, here we go. Here we go. You have the report in front of you? The filing? Supreme Court filing, Pete?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Go to page 7. Go to page 7, point number 9 on page 7. Well, you know what? I should actually show it on the screen so folks can see it. Let me go to that. Just one second. Hang on. Let me go there. Let me go to page 7.9 so you guys can all see what I'm reading from.
All right. Yeah, I've been marking mine up like crazy.
I know, isn't it great? All right, here we go. Page 7, look at number 9. In addition, on January 7th, 2021, the Director of National Intelligence concluded in an unclassified memo, which, by the way, I think that's the memo we were just showing a while ago in the other, you can download those other documents to back this up. I think that's it. In an unclassified memo, he stated that, quote, CIA management took actions, quote, pressuring analysts to withdraw their support, end quote, for findings regarding China's actions to, quote, interfere, quote, in the election. Again, this is the memo, John Ratcliffe. Yeah, this is what we showed a while ago. We showed the actual hard copy of that that's available online for you to look at. What I find interesting about this, and I don't want to go off too deep in the weeds, but why is the CIA discouraging this information from coming out? You know, let's not forget this is the same CIA that had as its director at one time, John Brennan, who admitted that he voted for communist presidential candidate of the 70s and 80s, Gus Hall, and yet John Brennan became the head of the CIA. So tell me this, Pete, why is the CIA discouraging this connection between China and voter theft?
Not only that, but the DNI concluding here, and I think this is the key element because it's a standard. It's like almost receiving the death penalty, is where he says that the actions violated the intelligence community tradecraft standards, violating their own, like it's their highest level of ethical standards and their law, essentially. They don't, bypass those tradecraft standards. But why is it that the CIA is watering it down? You know, we can, of course, speculate, and I have been speculating, because everything points to the intelligence community's involvement with the electronic voting machine fraud worldwide,
Thank you. And I have said for months and months and months that I believe the intelligence community is behind this. I believe my gut tells me, and now the more I research and find things like this, and this is in the filing again that one of the attorneys who helped write it, Kurt Olson, is going to be here, and we're going to go through it page by page at 7 o'clock Central with Mike Lindell at the desk, and you should tweet, text, email, Facebook, alert all your friends. 7 o'clock Central, we're going to start going through this. And I'm finding more information that confirms my gut. You know, I read a great book, and studying the assassination of John F. Kennedy is a hobby. I've been doing it for years, okay? So I've watched a lot of documentaries on this, read a lot of books. I think the best book I've read on it that I think really nails it is Roger Stone's book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy. And I think he nailed it. It was LBJ, it was the CIA, and it was the mob. And what's interesting is last week I interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Well, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would know something about the CIA and coup d'etats. And in his one-hour interview with me, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his new book, The Real Anthony Fauci, he said in the interview to me that the CIA was involved in releasing or involved in this plandemic, and they were involved in the October 2019 Event 201. Event 201, where in October 2019, they planned this great big pandemic, you know, what would we do? And voila, what happens, we all know. Reality is the pandemic had already, quote, begun because in September, I think it was September 12th of 2019, that's when it was released in China. I think that's, if I remember the date correctly, what RFK Jr. told us. So September 12th, it's released. They have enough information to know that was satellite and other things that were going on. So by October, they've got a tabletop exercise that a bunch of these people, Bill Gates, some of the World Economic Forum types, and the CIA are running a tabletop exercise the next month, October 2019, about preparing for a pandemic. Why is the CIA involved? And notice how the pandemic was used to justify the mail-in ballots and the mail-in voting, of which, again, discussed in here. I again go to the fact I think the CIA was involved, and RFK Jr. said in that interview to me, the CIA, they're notorious for being involved in coup d'etats. Well, again, I think he would know. I wanted to broach the subject, but I didn't want to broach the subject because it's just a very hard thing for me to talk about with someone like that when it's so personal. But I think RFK Jr. would be in a position to know all about what the CIA did to his uncle, what the CIA did, I think, to his father. But isn't it interesting that RFK Jr. is saying, hey, the CIA was running tabletop exercises on the pandemic. They're notorious for being involved in coup d'etats. And now we're reading what my gut has been telling me since the election. Boom, CIA is trying to squash the information.
That's right.
According to the Director of National Intelligence, about putting out there China's involvement in interference. Again, this whole thing smells like, was it Chuck Schumer that told President Trump, you better look out, the intelligence community has 6 ways from Sunday to get you? Wasn't it him that said that?
Sure did, yep.
What are your thoughts on everything I just said?
My thoughts, I was actually wanting to go by facts, because obviously as outsiders, we don't have clearance, we're not within
right.
the CIA. But then again, I was in the Marine Corps, I have friends who went on to the CIA, and they told me some things, but we're not going to talk about that. Let's go by the facts that are publicly available. Two glaring things that tell us something's very wrong. The servers, remember Edward Snowden, when he talked about what his job was, he
right.
used his diplomatic cover to go into the embassies for what reasons? To work on the servers that are in all these embassies distributed worldwide. Hold that thought there. Now we've got these servers, and what are these servers doing? We know that they've been involved in perpetrating electronic voting machine fraud worldwide. We know this. We now know November 2020, our votes were offshored. So let's set that aside temporarily. Now let's listen to the name Norm Eisen. Norm Eisen and Mark Elias, the information contained in this lawsuit right here points directly to both of those individuals being involved with the before, during, and after lawfare. And not just that, Norm Eisen went on to write the Transition Integrity Project, and he was the one that wrote the book on color revolutions worldwide. So these are facts. This is not conspiracy theory. But Norm Eisen and Mark Elias's name and fingerprints are all over what's contained in this, on all these facts that are contained in this lawsuit.
Two very important points. The Integrity Project. We were going through that, and I'm sure you were too, Pete, several weeks, many weeks before the election. We were going through that report that was put out by supposedly this bipartisan committee, baloney. And we were reading it on the air, okay, in the fall of 2020. And they were telling us in that report, as they ran all these different scenarios, one of them was that it would appear as though Donald Trump won, but then after the votes really came in, Biden would win, and then Trump supporters would be involved in subversion and trying to have a revolution in America, which is, again, psychological projection, putting onto those folks what they've actually done. I mean, wasn't that shocking what they wrote in the Election Integrity Project report and what actually ended up happening?
Well, you just mentioned Event 201. They did the, you know, wargaming scenarios and the tabletop exercises. But this was just an extension of that. They had the COVID response with Event 201 and all of their scenarios. And I looked at the Transition Integrity Project as Event 201, you know, point two.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to then the other thing you mentioned was color revolution. Maybe explain to our audience what a color revolution is. We did several TV shows in the fall of 2020 about a color revolution because we were predicting that we could see the intelligence community involved in a color revolution in America. But explain to those who maybe don't know, what is a color revolution?
You know, we may have an opportunity at some point after this weekend to dig into this. Everybody needs to know about it. A color Revolution is essentially a means to overthrow, and a book has been written, and many countries have been overthrown, to overthrow a, let's say, a communist dictatorship. But what they do is they do it through nonviolent means. They exploit the emotions of the people, and they propagandize them. They use mind control, and they use techniques, technologically especially, to get them out into the streets. And they go after every single institution within a government, and they take away, including the strength of their military. They take away the strength of their bureaucracy. They take away the strength of their military, their financial system. Basically, just pulling the rug out from underneath the dictators without having to fire a shot. And they love it when they get shot at and killed, because they use their media counterparts to use that as propaganda. They've literally done this throughout the world, and you can plot the course of all the nations they've done it to, including Venezuela. But along with those color revolutionary techniques that destabilize these communist dictatorships and install democracies, they use electronic voting machine fraud as well to topple governments. Well, what they've done, this entire group that's been doing it worldwide, they essentially used all the experience and the successes they've had all throughout the world toppling governments, and they employed those strategies on the United States. And the same exact names that were mentioned and all these countries going down, those are the same names that were seen, you know, during the President Trump's impeachment hearings, during the congressional hearings, the testimony. Norm Eisen was seen all over the place. Go look him up, and you'll see that he wrote the book on color revolutions.
Very interesting. And so I believe what we have seen is a gigantic war by the intelligence community to remove President Trump. And, of course, when you look at what I think, again, Roger Stone highly documents, and again, I've read a lot of stuff by a lot of guys and watched a lot of documentaries the last 30 years. It's kind of a side hobby on studying the assassination of JFK. I think the CIA was heavily involved. I think the intelligence community was heavily involved. He was threatening to crush the CIA into 1,000 pieces and throw it into the wind. You know that, right, Kennedy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And
so if they got away with it then, you know, in broad daylight, literally, in the middle of downtown Dallas, you think that since 1963 they haven't been doing some of this same stuff as well?
Well, do you remember the name Eric Ciaramella?
No.
Eric Ciaramella was that name you couldn't even mention because he was involved in the whole Ukraine thing. He was the whistleblower.
Right.
And it came out. His name was Eric Ciaramella. And if you mention his name, because he was in intelligence, he worked for the CIA. And he was involved in blowing the whistle on President Trump during the Ukraine thing. Eric Ciaramella, guess where he was sitting?
Where?
He was sitting right next to Victoria Nuland overthrowing the Ukraine in 2012, 2013. These are the same people, the same exact people that were overthrowing foreign governments, and all they did in 2020 was put the cherry on top and overthrew us.
Absolutely.
The United States.
And what's interesting, again, this is on page 7, where it talks about this with the CIA putting pressure on analysts to bury the connection between China and cyber hacking on elections, and it was brought up in this letter by Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. Very interesting conversation that we're having with Pete Santelli, who, by the way, is on every morning on frankspeech.com, Lindell TV, from 7 to 9 Central, 7 to 9 Central. And he's going to be with us in studio Friday and Saturday, and maybe Sunday too, but we're looking forward to having him with us live in studio. Let's go back to our PowerPoint presentation here, as we again are looking at the history in chronological order. We saw a press release by Democrat Congresswoman Carolyn Malone a while ago. See, there it is. That was 2007, November 8th. Now let's look at this again. 2012, we'll finish this one here. U.S. national security is potentially at risk because software used to count votes in 20% of the U.S. In 20% of the country during U.S. elections is owned and controlled by a Venezuelan-run company with ties to the Venezuelan government of Hugo Chavez, which has been described as, quote, the foremost meddler in foreign elections in the Western Hemisphere, end quote. Foreign-owned and foreign-run Smartmatics control over vote-counting software used in the voting machines of Sequoia Voting Systems, Inc. presents a potential national security risk now, just as it did in 2006, when the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States opened an investigation. I said earlier that that was part of Homeland Security. I don't think it is. I think that CFIUS board is inside the Department of Treasury, but I could be wrong. But that's the CFIUS board. That's the same board, by the way, Pete, that was shut down during the Obama administration so the uranium deal could go through involving the Clintons, and the deal could go through that would give sell ports like the port in Texas. No, Florida. The port in Florida, Cape Canaveral, Florida port, that ended up being sold, according to numerous reports, as in my documentary, Sabotage, was sold to a family and a guy that was known as the head nuclear scientist for Saddam Hussein, the Jafar family. The Jafar family and Gulf Tainer now run that port, Port Canaveral, in Florida, which is strategically right there by, you know, a bunch of our, you know, key intelligence places. Anyone in military intelligence knows the military intelligence things that are right there. Well, there they are. And that guy, the Jafar family, tied back one of their members, was the guy that developed the nuclear beach ball. And again, this is all documented in my documentary Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com. Well, that CFIUS board was shut down, which allowed the Russian uranium deal to go through during the Obama administration, and that Port Canaveral deal to go through to give this, you know, gazillion year, multi-decade license to this family tied right back to Saddam Hussein. This is the CFIUS board. This is what we're talking about. So it says presents a potential national security risk now, just as it did in 2006 when the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States opened an investigation of Smartmatic's ownership of Sequoia. The CFIUS is a U.S. government interagency committee led by the U.S. Department of Treasury. Yeah, there you go. There it is. That addresses national security risks posed by foreign ownership or influence over U.S. businesses, including companies providing the means by which voters in the U.S. elect their president and congressional representatives. Rather than answer to the CFIUS, then it goes on from there. So again, we're providing a lot of documentation here today that shows that since 2007, we know that there's been problems with some of these companies, and you start going back and you start connecting the dots between Smartmatic, Sequoia, and some of the voting companies today, it gets pretty stinking interesting, doesn't it?
It sure does, and it's all out there. I mean, essentially, you'd have to be able to connect all the many dots, and most people, if it weren't for November 2020, for the past 20 years, we've heard about, especially from the Democrats, as you're pointing out, they were the ones that were like the Paul Revere's. They were the patriots that were coming forward saying there was a problem with electronic voting machine fraud. But most people, to connect all of those dots, it's just so much information. It's so complex. It is such a massive conspiracy that most people get information fatigue. Well, now you need to push past any level of fatigue and get energized. We have all of the evidence, everything that the Democrats has done for us as to the investigation. Let's use that, and of course, just like we are right now, Brandon, we're using that information. They've done a lot of research, a lot of homework over the past 10 years. And now let's join together, Democrats and Republicans. I'm not looking for a kumbaya moment. I'm looking for both the Democrats and the Republicans to be equally outraged about what has not only happened in November 2020, but what's been happening over the past 20 years.
Absolutely. Here's another headline. Soros connected voting counting firm expands in U.S. Now, this is 2013. A Spanish vote tabulation firm with ties to billionaire globalist George Soros is purchasing software to give it greater power over the voting in the U.S. elections. In a press release under a Barcelona and Tampa, Florida dateline, this company announced that its end-to-end election modernization solution covers the full election cycle, pre-election, election day, and post-election, providing electoral bodies the most secure, transparent, and audible and accessible solution in the marketplace, and allows this company to offer personalized election modernization roadmaps to their customers, combining both traditional and online voting solutions as needed. End quote. In order to consolidate such beginning to end, this company has purchased the software from a trio of organizations with the gravitational pull of the planet of George Soros. So again, you start getting worried when you find voting systems tied back to Hugo Chavez, systems tied back to George Soros. Any concern there? This is Seidel. This is about the company Seidel. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts also, and I have it documented, it's not a conspiracy theory. Bain Capital, by the way, when all these mergers and acquisitions and deals were going down, when Smartmatic and Sequoia, and then now remember, we used to have Diebold. Remember that? They got folded to, well, all these mergers and acquisitions were done partly by none other than Bain Capital. And who runs Bain Capital? Mitt Romney.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Vulture Capital firm. So the Republicans have been involved in this. The Republicans know about all of the financing. And most recently, we know that HSBC Bank is tied to, and I you might get upset with me by saying the name Dominion, because everyone may get sued, but I'm going by publicly available information, and I'm not afraid of them, by the way. HSBC Bank, correct, was involved in a $300-400 million transaction. I don't have the document in front of me. A month prior to the election in 2020, who runs HSBC, sir?
Who?
China.
Oh,
is
wow.
Major financiers. So I'm mentioning all of this because it is documented. It's not a conspiracy theory. We don't just pick on Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was involved in this for the past 20 years. These mergers and acquisitions have basically sheltered Venezuela somehow. I don't know how Venezuela at one point, they were able to say, oh, Sidney Powell mentioned Venezuela. She's a kook pot. It is not. I mean, it's right out in the open. It's
well, look at this. Look at this headline. This is a Smartmatic press release, I guess. Look at that. This is what I found in our research. Smartmatic. Look at the top of the left. Smartmatic. Smartmatic announces cease of operations in Venezuela. United Kingdom, London, March 6, 2018. After 15 years of service and 14 elections assisting, providing secure and audible voting system, Smartmatic closed its offices and ceased operations in Venezuela. That's a press release, apparently. I mean, and we documented it right there. Boom.
All of the executives from Smartmatic, Antonio Mojica, came from Venezuela, and he moved to, I think it was Boca Raton, Florida. Because he moved to Boca Raton, Florida, does not delete the fact that Smartmatic was used to get Hugo Chavez installed into office through electronic voting machine fraud. It's well documented. People have even died who have tried to bring the truth forward regarding Venezuela.
You know, you mentioned Sidney Powell a while ago. I had her on the broadcast, and she several times now, but in one of the broadcasts, she mentioned finding the patent that shows that our Department of Defense had a patent for a program that could be used to flip votes. Have you seen that? You remember that, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Sidney Powell's done great work in that regard. She does. She's exposed that. She's got that patent that shows.
Does the DOD oftentimes work with the CIA, Pete Santelli?
They have a dotted line back and forth. But, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
So what, should we start questioning why the DOD has software and patents to flip votes and the CIA? I mean, it starts getting something like of a Tom Clancy movie pretty quick, does it not?
You know, but picture this. You and I are patriots. We're all patriots. Everyone listening to me is a patriot. We want an intelligence service and a DOD that's going to take down brutal regimes and communist dictatorships. And this is why we had the CIA and why the DOD has the patent, why the Pentagon has the patent. They've been employing this all throughout the world, going after the bad guys. But, you know, when you put bad people in charge of these very sophisticated tools, what do?
They
abuse their power.
They flip it, and they end up using it as a means for a color revolution, as you said a while ago, in our country.
Or to install a communist dictatorship versus topple one.
Next screenshot, election conspiracy against Trump, according to Time magazine. disinformation and censoring news. This was February 9th, 2021. I'm bringing this one up, and it's out of order, but it's because Time Magazine did a piece, you know, and they said, hey, there's an issue here. Here it is. This is Time Magazine. They did the article, and these folks here are talking about it. But here's the Time Magazine piece. The secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. In a way, Trump was right. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes. One that both curtailed the protest and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The PAC was formalized in a terse, little-notice joint statement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO published on Election Day. Both sides would come to see it as a sort of implicit bargain inspired by the summer's massive, sometimes destructive racial justice protest in which the forces of labor came together with the forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy. I mean, even Time Magazine admitted, hey, Trump may have been right. This is a group of people working together. The article goes on to say, this one initially, as I wrote in my previous piece, it seems Trump was right. There was a massive conspiracy to keep him from a second term in office, and Time Magazine just admitted it. The Time piece titled, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election, quote, and it's by Molly Ball, is the closest thing to a criminal confession by big media of the outrageous conspiracy to defeat Trump that there is. According to Time, the election interference conspiracy included Democrat partisans, leftist activists, big tech, big labor, big business moguls, along with members of the Washington establishment. I think all they're leaving out is the intelligence community.
Absolutely. Do you know who, what's his name, John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember him?
I do, because I know another guy named John Perkins. It's not the same guy. And so I was researching the other John Perkins, and I would run across this John Perkins, so I know exactly who he is.
Well, the reason why I bring him up is because in that Time Magazine article, they talk of, you know, big business coming together with, you know, with big labor. You know, major corporations and politicians were coming together. That's not how it happened. These corporations had a come to Jesus meeting with an economic hitman that says, this is what's coming. You're either on the team or we're going to cut you off and kill you. And they basically extort. It's like Rainbow Coalition style takedowns. Okay. And then obviously, if somebody doesn't want to play the game, like Mike Lindell, they destroy you. They destroy you. You're either on the team or they destroy you. Amazon gets preferential treatment. Facebook gets preferential treatment. But they're approached by the intelligence agents like John Perkins, who told us what he did in other countries. That same exact methodology they employ. And it's a CIA overthrow of the United States of America. Well, I don't have proof that that's what they did with these corporations. All I can go by is what they've done to all the other countries they've overthrown throughout the United States.
And, you know, what's really interesting is on November 11th, I hosted a town hall meeting in front of a live audience, filmed 4 1-hour town hall meetings with 4 retired FBI agents. Did you get a chance to see any of that, by the way?
Epic. Epic.
Well, you came on my radio. I'm being reminded by Logan. You came on my radio show and talked to me about it. Okay. I'm sorry. He's having to remind the old man what happened last week. All right. I mean, you know. You know what? We're on a 96-hour marathon, so yeah, I forgot. That's, maybe I should keep the earpiece so the control room can remind me what my name is.
But you know what? When I picked up the phone and called you and said, actually, you called me after I texted you. I said, this is unbelievable. This is probably more important than, you know, the November 2020 election. Unprecedented that FBI agents, essentially whistleblowers, coming forward to say, hey, you know what? This should not be going on. This is a communist overthrow of the United States of America. And who better than the guys that go after the communists, investigate the communists, as we've always known them to do within the FBI. And these old schoolers, retirees, said, you better wake up. This is what's going on. We know what communism is all about. And it's here. It's here in the United States. But I think you were kind of shocked how close I was to the corruption within the FBI, and I'm glad you brought me on the show So we had a chance for me to just discuss what I've learned about them over the past 10 years.
Yeah, because you were on the front row to watch some of it, and that's a whole story in itself. But, you know, one of these FBI guys, two of them had really worked tracking the KGB inside the U.S. I mean, that's what they did. They fought communism, okay? And when I was a kid, moved to the D.C. area when I was 4, my father was transferred there with the government. And so at about age 4, I'm being dragged through the FBI building for the public tours. And wow. And I went through the FBI public tours from the time I was about 4 till we left D.C. when I was about 12, 13. Okay, so I'd gone through the FBI tours. And you know, on those tours, they would tell you about the dangers of communism. Isn't that ironic? The agency that I revered, looked up to, went to church with current, you know, at the time, men that were active FBI agents. You know, I revered these guys. You know, I thought these guys were, you know, amazing. You know, to be FBI agents, to me, in my eyes, was an amazing thing, and it was. And I'm actually going through the tour, and my worldview is being shaped as I go to Arlington National Cemetery, as I go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Torchlight Tattoo, where they military, the different branches of the military act out the different wars in America, World War I, World War II. Actually, they start with the colonial America, move forward. And my whole worldview is being shaped with patriotism and love of country and people who have sacrificed, going to the Arlington National Cemetery, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, growing up being immersed in this from the time I was 4 to the time I was about 12 or 13. When I'm going on the tour at 4 years old, and a little bit older than that, as I said all the way through, but while I'm on that time frame, and I can obviously, knowing when I was born, 1969, I can figure out, okay, at 4, that would have been this year, and then go, guess who was one of the guys leading the tours? Guess who was one of the guys leading the public tours? Terry Turchie. So there's a probability that I was on a public tour of the FBI being led by my now friend, Terry Turchie, who led those tours, okay? And he will say, one of the things that tour taught was the dangers of communism. Now think about this. The agency I grew up respecting and revering that fought communism, and its director, and even its assistant director, Sullivan, who gave a speech in the suburbs of Dallas in 1961, warned America's clergy, don't fall into traps of the communists and signing on the pamphlets and tracts and campaigns of the communist because you fall into an area that's outside your area of expertise. Don't be a useful idiot. Clergy, don't be a useful idiot for the communists. That's a warning from Assistant Director of the FBI, Sullivan, in 1961. So whether it's Hoover, the Assistant Director, these guys are all fighting and trying to educate the American people on the real threat of communism. If you go through the public tour, you would be warned about the threat of communism. So they helped shape my worldview. The FBI helped shape my worldview as a kid going into that tour. Now that very agency thinks I, because I've been writing for decades, and I think you probably know that my books have been writing for decades, my book in 1993, my book in 1995, forward, 14 books. One of my last books, I wrote Marxianity, Marxism and Christianity Emerging, came out November 2018, warning again and again, as I have since my first book in 93, about the threat of communism on America. I even wrote a book in 95, Reclaiming the Nation at Risk, warning that America was rolling into corporate fascism, big government, big business, and I warned about social credit scores like out of China. You can go get the book on Amazon for a dollar probably, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, and see that I was warning about this. Now, I've been doing this for decades. But now the agency that I learned from, in part, the FBI, going through their public tours, reading the people's books and stuff who were director, assistant director, warning about communism, my worldview is shaped by guys, among others, including FBI guys, as I've explained. Now that very agency deems me a potential domestic terrorist because I'm what? Doing what I was trained to do through reading the writings of men like Hoover and Sullivan and other guys and going on the public tour that warned about communism. Now we're the potential domestic threat by the very agency that taught us to oppose this worldview, Pete.
Oh, yes. Yes. Again, that's why it was bombshell, because they were stating, because we're on the outside. I'm on the outside. I never worked for the FBI. I've known people within the FBI, but I don't have a perspective from the inside. It was important that they came forward. Not only that, but just people within the FBI. You know that there's good guys in there, and they know that things are happening within the FBI that are very, very wrong. So now we have these credible, unimpeachable retirees coming forward saying, hey, you know, you guys may need to come forward and speak out as well. And I think we need help from within, not just screaming at the, you know, the seventh floor from the outside.
Well, that's what they said in the 4 one-hour town hall meetings that I produced, that you can find at frankspeech.com or on my website at wvwtv.com. All 4 hours are there now. Again, we just filmed it November 11th, but all 4 1-hours in front of a live studio audience here in the Mid-South, outside of Memphis, which is the graphic behind me, that's Memphis. It's now online on frankspeech.com and my website, wvwtv.com. And the former assistant director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Terry Turchie, who wrote a book called In Their Own Words, subtitled The Democratic Party's Push Toward a Communist America. Everybody should read it. This guy's an expert on the Weather Underground, Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, Eric Mann, all these guys, right? And he shows how they got into government, and the Marxists have gotten into government, and they've taken over the Department of Justice. All of these FBI agents were there, were talking about this. The Department of Justice being taken over by the Marxists. And then the Department of Justice takes over and removes the independence of the FBI, turns it into a political strong arm for themselves. And the former assistant director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, Terry Turchie, says on video, America is no longer under the rule of law. America is no longer under the rule of law. These men are not prone to hyperbole and exaggeration. We are in a very, very serious time. This is not a game. We're not just doing talk radio. We're not sitting here literally live at 6:51 p.m. Central Time on Thanksgiving Day because we don't have anything better to do. We're here because this is literally a fight for the survival of the country. And when you have the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division at the FBI saying, our country is so far off the rails, we're no longer under the rule of law, and you see that, and they also went after the FBI SWAT teams that are breaking down the doors of people like Roger Stone, James O'Keefe, and now since that recording, we now have Sharona out of Colorado, who's a mom with a mother's organization opposing critical race theory, mask mandates, and working on election fraud, and they break down her door while she's homeschooling her kids. And the SWAT team guys had said on video, we didn't do that for nonviolent people. We did not do that. Why is this being done? And I said, is it intimidation? Intimidation of the American people? To intimidate the American people? To go along with the revolution and sit on shut up? And the guy who'd been on an FBI SWAT team said, absolutely.
Stunning, sad. I'm sure everybody feels a sense of mourning as it relates to the FBI not being what we always thought they were. But your nation is no longer what we thought it was. But guess what? And I hope you have time, by the way. How much time do we have? Because I found the Lord Malik Brown clip.
Yeah, we've got about 7 minutes, so go ahead and play it if you want.
You want me to play this?
Yeah, play okay. It.
Now, everyone remember, who is Lord? We've been talking about Smartmatic. We've been talking about Sequoia Dominion. Here's Lord Malik Brown, the chairman of Smartmatic, in his own words, after he used electronic voting machines to overthrow the country of the Philippines. Tell me if you can hear the audio. Hopefully you can. Here it is.
No audio, Pete.
No audio?
No audio.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry about that.
Well, if you send it to us, Logan can play it on our end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can, absolutely. And I'm so sorry that I don't know why you didn't get any audio.
That's all right. Well, send it to Logan, and Logan will play it on our end.
How about this? Let's try it one more time.
All right. Gonna do
one quick fix. Here we go.
All right, all right, all right. All right. No audio.
This is an important clip. It is literally the chairman of Smartmatic admitting to a lot of the stuff that's contained in all of our investigations over the past year, where they said it was a conspiracy theory.
Well, I don't know if there's a way for you to send it over to Logan in the next minute or two. If not, we can try to play it tomorrow. But we should definitely I'd love to play that for the audience. Now, of course, everybody's now definitely interested in seeing it now, right? Now everybody wants to see it. Let me go back to our PowerPoint slide here real quick in the closing minutes. And by the way, I hope that folks would be tweet, text, email, Facebook, call. We are, what, Logan, we need to, in order to probably take this up to where we need to go, we're going to start at 7 o'clock. So we got 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and then we're going to take a break, reset, and we're going to be joined by Mike Lindell, the attorney Kurt Olson, who helped to draft this, did a lot of this drafting, major architect of this legal document, the complaint to be filed at the Supreme Court, which, again, you can get at frankspeech.com. So at 7 o'clock, in about 5 minutes, we're going to start that. And so you need to tweet, text, email as we go through this with Mike Lindell and one of the lead attorneys on this. It's very, very important now as we come up to the 7 o'clock hour central time that you do that. Let's go back to one more slide here. Confessions of a voter fraud. Confessions of a voter fraud. I was a master at fixing mail-in ballots. This is August 29th, 2020, New York Post. But the political insider who spoke on condition of anonymity because he fears prosecution said fraud is more the rule than the exception. His dirty work has taken him through the weeds of municipal and federal elections in Patterson, Atlantic City, Camden, Newark, Hoboken, and Hudson County, and his fingerprints can be found in local, legislative, mayoral, and congressional races across the Garden State, and that's New Jersey. Some of the biggest names and highest office holders in New Jersey have benefited from his tricks, according to campaign records the Post reviewed. Here's another one. Voter fraud in Michigan. Massive dump of over 200,000 ballots for Biden all of a sudden appear overnight. Update, officials call it a, quote, typo. You know, again, very interesting. And Pete, I asked the four retired FBI agents, I said, you know, if Mike Lindell were here at this live town hall meeting, he'd want to know, what are your thoughts on the voter theft of 2020? One of them said, when you have four or five states all hold their voting, you know, they all stops, and they all just stop one after the other. He said that that's in the business what we call a clue, you know. And the other one said, okay, so maybe one of them halts counting, but two, something's wrong. Three, we got a real problem. Four, so all of them agreed, this is what we in the FBI, he said, would have been investigating. How is it that they all stop counting? And then you, all of a sudden, you start seeing the votes as massive voter fraud. They dump over 200,000 ballots all of a sudden just in Michigan.
And how is it that, again, back to the FBI, not to disparage them, but to disparage them because they're not involved in looking for the bad guys anymore. They are the bad guys. But how is it that the FBI doesn't investigate and then allow AG Barr to say, I've seen no evidence of any widespread election? Where were their investigations for the past year? I would say it's we need to change the FBI to the MP, the My Pillow Bureau of Investigations.
Well, we are doing the work that the FBI should have been doing.
That's what I'm saying.
American patriots are doing the work the FBI should be doing. I don't know how quick. You must have already sent that clip to Logan, did you, Pete?
I did.
You are fast. Let's roll to it. Let's go to that clip. It's 10 minutes. Well, we can't do all 10 minutes, obviously, but start it.
SmartMatic in April. The company remains in the running for the repair of existing PCOS machines as well as the supply of new ones for the 2016 elections. Joining us in the studio is SmartMatic Chairman Lord Malik Brown. That's Mark Malik Brown, Lord to me, who is also former Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations and also part of Gordon Brown's cabinet at some point. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
How would you describe the nature of your chairmanship of SmartMatic? Do you see yourself taking a very active role, an executive chairman, if you will?
Well, I'm very involved. I work out of their head offices in London. It's a company that I believe very profoundly in. I've devoted pretty much all of my career to working on the promotion of democracy and elections. I was an advisor here in the 1980s to Cory Aquino. And so for me, this is a wonderful company which is all about building trust and confidence and security in election results in many parts of the world, which, you know, have managed to adopt democracy but have real difficulty in securing the vote in a way that citizens have confidence in the results.
All right, a columnist at a well-known newspaper has referred to Smartmatic as a formerly Venezuelan company that is now a UK company, apart from the fact that you're British. Is that a pretty accurate description?
It was never a Venezuelan company. It started in Florida. It was a reaction to the famous Hanging Chads case between Gore and Bush, when a couple of young Latin Americans who happened to be Venezuelans said, gosh, we could do better than that, and developed the software and technologies that became Smartmatic. It's done elections in Venezuela. It does elections all over Latin America, because Latin America is a region with a considerable similarity to the Philippines. A history.
All right, let's hold it right there. I mean, you want to wrap up? Where'd Pete go? Did we lose Pete? Where you go?
No.
What do you make of that, Pete? We got to go. Tell us what that's all about.
There's so many dots to connect, and I know we're going to be able to connect them all through this Thanksathon, and of course, tune into the Pete Santilli Show right at frankspeech.com each and every morning. We cover topics like this. It's all coming together.
We got to come back to that clip, because he worked with Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown, of course, Prime Minister of Great Britain, is with the Labour Party. The Labour Party, they were birthed out of the Fabian Social Society. The Fabian Social Society are all for globalism and using crisis to manufacture more of their ideas. I mean, tied back to the UN.
And Lord Malik Brown is now the chairman, through the UN, of the Lucius Trust.
Oh, that's Alice Bailey's old group. Lucius Trust, Alice Bailey, who wrote over 10,000 pages with her master guide that was really a demon, the Tibetan.
What a conspiracy theorist I am. I went to the UN website and read that.
Yeah, and I wrote about Alice Bailey in my book in 2008, Grave Influence. So amazing. Oh, man. That right there, we got to do a whole show on that. Pete, what's your website?
FrankSpeech.com at 7 a.m. Central, right? Seriously, right. It's one of the best morning shows on the internet. It's on FrankSpeech.com. Proudly want everybody to tune in. You'll love the show. East Coast people, it's perfect timing. It's 8 a.m. Eastern, and of course 5 a.m. on the West Coast. FrankSpeech.com.
7 to 9 Central Time every day, Monday through Friday. The great Pete Santilli. Look forward to having you in the studio tomorrow, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thanks for joining us on Thanksgiving.